The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, a staff member at Oberstown Detention Centre has suffered life-changing injuries, which is one of 10 now who have been hurt in a string of violent incidents in just 2 weeks. Forsa has described the situation in the centre as critical, with too few staff, poor safety and no sign of change. So what is it exactly that's going wrong at Oberstown? We're going to speak to Forsa in a few minutes' time, but Saoirse Brady, Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust, joins me now. Saoirse, thanks for coming on the show. Why is it we're seeing this flaring up now?
I suppose when you see, when you have any place of detention, and Oberstown is a place of detention where it may be understaffed, where it's at capacity, and we are seeing that. We're hearing from judges that they can't send some young people who have been charged with serious offences to Oberstown. Then it means that you start to see, you know, escalations in violence sometimes. You start to see staff shortages having a real impact. And we do know there's a staff and retention crisis at Oberstown, and that's understandable because it is a challenging environment. It is a challenging job. But, you know, what we don't want to see from the Irish Penal Reforms Trust point of view is any kind of restrictive regime coming in to Oberstown, because it has made so much progress over the last number of years in terms of taking that care-based approach underpinned by children's rights. And, you know, that encompasses everyone in Oberstown feeling safe.
And when you get into that situation where there is the overcrowding that you've described, I mean, how does that affect the lives of those who are detained in Oberstown?
Well, if you look at the HICWA inspection reports over the last couple of years, there have been some direct impacts, particularly last year's inspection report. It talked about the staff shortages, meaning that young people are locked up for longer periods of time. So, you know, Oberstown is an education detention campus, you know, so the young people can, you know, interact with their peers in the particular unit that they're in. But if they're locked down for long periods of time, that has a huge toll on people's mental health and well-being. And, you know, people might be sitting at home thinking, well, you know, maybe they've committed an offence and, you know, we're being too soft on them. But actually, no, we're not. And very many of the young people in Oberstown in May of this year, in fact, 2 out of 5 young people in Oberstown were on remand. So they were in pretrial detention. So they had been charged but not sentenced of an offence. And I suppose we really need to think about that. What we are hearing on the ground is that the high rate of remand is coming because some of the supports in the community that would help to alleviate the overcrowding for those young people who are in there for less serious offences and could be better served and supported in the community to deal with offending behaviour, that, you know, they're coming in. We're you know, into Oberstown, into detention, perhaps unnecessarily. The law is very clear. The Children's Act, you know, is explicit that detention should always be used as a last resort. And the deprivation of liberty, the deprivation of someone's freedom, is the punishment, not the conditions that they're held in. So we need to do everything possible. We need to resource Oberstown, but we also need to resource those community supports. And we know judges are using alternatives like the bail supervision scheme, where those are available in Dublin, Cork and Limerick. And what we are seeing are young people coming in from areas where those aren't available, perhaps, that, you know, they're coming in for lesser offences.
What kind of offences are you talking about there? Because obviously, like, what's the spectrum of offences that have people in Oberstown?
We're talking about non-violent offences. And, I acknowledge that there are a number of young people who, you know, do pose a risk to public safety and maybe cannot be accommodated at the moment. But there are young people in there for, you know, more minor offences like shoplifting. This is what we hear certainly on the ground. And or they're in because, you know, they've had multiple public order offences. But they don't pose a risk to public safety as such. What we know that community-based sanctions, community-based sentences are more effective, actually. And the bail supervision scheme is testament to that. It's been evaluated. We can see the impact that it has, not just on the young person, but also their family, perhaps their siblings and their parents, providing those parenting supports. But crucially, getting to the heart of what caused the young person to offend in the first place. We don't excuse the offending behaviour, but unless we start to understand it and put the supports in place to actually address why it happens in the first place, then we're going to continue in this cycle. And we, you know, we really do want to see detention being used only as a last resort and those alternatives being available to judges and, you know, being effective. So, you know, the calls for more beds in Oberstown, well, I think, you know, the reports this week show that opening more beds alone is not enough. You have to have the resources in place. And the staff in Oberstown are expert in what they do. You know, they have been trained. They do it through a children's rights lens. And, you know, I think that we really need to see better supports in place for them, but also for the young people. And, you know, that like, if ever, you know, if the young people feel safe and secure where they are, if the staff feel safe and secure, that makes for better trusting relationships. And hopefully the staff will have that going forward.
Yeah. Does having, I suppose, those lower level of offences in Oberstown, potentially unnecessarily, as you're saying there, I mean, presumably that also has an impact on potential rehabilitation, because at the end of the day, these are kids, and, you know, maybe in some cases that's not going to be impossible, but you would like to hope that in a lot of cases they could be put through some sort of a program that would help them to get their lives back on track.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, all the neuroscience shows that up until the age of 25, if you have key interventions that support young people to address their offending behaviour or their challenging behaviour, then that would really help. But, like, think about who ends up in Oberstown. We have an over-representation of children with care experience, and part of that must be because we don't have enough secure care beds. We had judges talking about that recently. You know, so sometimes the behaviour escalates, and if the proper care facilities were put in place, then maybe that wouldn't happen in the first place. But we really need to deal with that. We really need to have a whole-of-government approach to this. This isn't just an issue for the Department of Justice on the policy side or the Department of Children on the, you know, the accommodation and Oberstown side. Like, even the fact that those are in two separate departments, I think, you know, shows that some of these things can become quite siloed. People from more disadvantaged areas are overrepresented in custody overall, whether in the youth justice or the adult system. We see, you know, young people from the traveller community in particular who face huge structural discrimination in the community ending up in overrepresented in both youth and adult systems. So we need to address some of those systemic issues. We need to have a whole of government approach. And from IPRT's point of view, we would say perhaps this is the time to look at something like a youth justice agency that can really take this bull by the horns and drive forward policy.
Saoirse Brady, Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust, thanks for joining us on the show. I'm also joined by Niall Shanahan, who's the Media Relations Director for Forza. Niall, thanks a million for coming in. Look, I suppose this is quite a difficult situation for those working in Oberstown. You might just bring us through some of the incidents that they have been through in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so going back 11 days, the 8th of June, there was an incident in which one member of staff was assaulted. A few days later, on the 11th of June, a member of staff was very seriously assaulted, face lacerations, and what has been described to me as a potentially life-changing injuries. And then on Wednesday this week, there was a single incident with a single resident involving an assault, and nine staff were injured. Four of whom had to attend hospital. One of those was referred to Beaumont. Three were treated in accident and emergency. So that's 10 members of Forza working at Oberstown in the space of 10 days being injured, with half of them probably now out of work for a number of weeks because of their injuries. And it's very interesting listening to Saoirse from Irish Penal Reform Trust, and I was struck by how many times she mentioned the word resources, because really that is the bottom line in this issue, as far as I can make out. I mean, talking to our members there, they talk about staff shortages, not having enough people to cover a shift. So let's say a shift, the optimum number in a unit might be six people, and it's quite common that you would only have four people working on a shift. And as Saoirse pointed out, that means that more people are locked down in individual rooms more of the time. That is my understanding of the consequence of having staff shortages on a shift. But I think possibly the most telling aspect of this is staff retention. We know that Oberstown hired 10 new staff in 2025, and only two of those are still working there.
Wow.
So that's 80% attrition on new intake.
And is that down to, like you say, just an issue of resources there being stretched too thin? Is it that they are in a work environment where some people are getting assaulted and ending up in hospital? Or is it a sort of a combination of all of the above?
It is a combination of all of those things. And I mean, it's a care and education model. Mm. It's a much more progressive model than what preceded it. Before that, we had St. Patrick's Institution. Before that, we had the Borstal. So we had generations of brutalization. And it was the lessons learned from that experience that, you know, orientated this type of detention toward a care and education model. But it only works if it's properly resourced.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, the frustration that our members in Orbistown have expressed on that basis is very strong. And it's, you know, this has been bubbling away for quite a while. I spoke to the people. I've been liaising with Orbistown staff for nearly 15 years now, but over the last 18 months, I have had a sense that this has been building and accelerating. And I think events over the last 10, 11 days is a sort of an outcome of that experience.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because obviously you are dealing with children here, and there is probably a spectrum of children that come from different backgrounds and have had different life experiences. But I mean, some people getting in touch on the text line, Deck, for example, is texting saying, as usual, it's someone else's fault, not the offender's fault. Staff well-being doesn't matter. It's such bull. They're not in there because they're too nice. Lock them down.
No, the care for the residents and the health and safety and welfare of the staff, these are not mutually exclusive items. If staff aren't safe at work, then the residents aren't safe. If the residents aren't safe, the staff aren't safe. If the resources aren't there for Orbistown to function as it was designed with that care and education model, then they can't deliver that to its fullest. And then as the problems arise, they become embedded. What we want to avoid is a situation where residents feel insecure in Orbistown because there aren't enough staff working with them. So, I mean, to your texter's point, these things are not mutually exclusive. Staff and residents under the one roof in Orbistown, they both need to feel safe and secure. And Saoirse talked there about the re-establishment of trust. I think that's really, really important. But what our members need is for the management at Orbistown to get more engaged with this. So, for example, there's been an exchange of correspondence. We will meet management in the next couple of days. But the management in their correspondence to us reinforced this requirement that individual members of staff report what has happened to them if they've been assaulted to the Gardaí. Orbistown management don't report these incidences, and regardless of how serious they are, and obviously we've had a number of very serious incidences over the last few days, but Orbistown management don't report that. They required these individuals, some of whom have, like, what they've experienced is a very serious trauma, to go and talk to the guard. So if you're not even, if you're in a situation where you're working in that environment and management are saying, we don't really have a duty of care around this, you need to go and take care of that yourself, that erodes the very trust that Saoirse is talking about, that you have to build and establish in this unique environment that, you know, requires everybody to be paying attention. And her point about the departmental responsibilities, it occurred to me as this thing developed that Orbistown may exist in a sort of a blind spot policy-wise between the youth department and the Department of Justice. So I think at a political level, there needs to be a re-engagement on how this model works, how it's resourced, and dealing with the current challenges that they're facing.
Okay, Niall Shanahan, Media Relations Director for Forza, thanks a million for coming in. Quite a few people getting in touch on the text line about that. One texter says, my close relative works there and I worry about them going into work all the time. Their mental health suffers so much. It's so toxic and more needs to be done. I'm glad this is in the media now, not only for the staff, but for young people there too. And we have another text in from someone who worked in Orbistown for many years. They say, to put it bluntly, staff are expected to work with children that have the same complex issues as adults in an adult prison, and the capability of adult prisoners, but with insane expectations with such a violent group of young people. So a fascinating angle to think about what's going on in Orbistown there.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.